239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is a year ago. You remember this, Chris. A year ago, the Indianapolis Public Library was hurting. They were cutting back hours and staff, and they didn't have any, well, they had money, but they didn't have enough money. But the people rose up and said, now, we got to help the library. Now, we can do without some other stuff, but we got to have a library. And the city county council figured out how they could, on a bipartisan basis, figured out how they could bogart some money, find some money, and so that the library could expand. The state legislature kind of helped out a little bit and said, okay, y'all can kind of do this. And now the library is moving forward with a new, simpler name, Indianapolis Public Library. And they're doing a bunch of things that not only encouraging people to read, but also to be healthy and standing in solidarity with Chuck Pagano and his struggle and being cult strong and Andrew Luck giving back to the community and the CEO of Delight. Library. Jackie Needus is in the house. Welcome.
Hi, Miss. Wow, what a recap of an exciting year.
It has been.
It is great.
First of all, the hours, the cutbacks gone. You're trying to look forward. Is usage up?
It is. Absolutely. Door count is up at all locations. Mm-hmm. The number of items checked out is up at all locations, and the number of people applying for new library cards is up at all locations. Mm-hmm. This last month, compared to the month of October a year ago, we were looking at 20% increases.
Is that normal for big city libraries, or are we a positive exception to the rule?
There is nationally a trend of people returning to their libraries. I think that's a result in part of the economy, but mm-hmm. also in part of a recognition that every single city in the country is thinking about education. Mm-hmm. So some of it's a national trend. For us, it's definitely an increase over the past couple of years.
The library has worked with our professional sports teams over the years. You guys are doing something with the Indianapolis Colts, tying in what was their season slogan, Colt Strong, and who knew that it was going to take these different paths with Coach Pagano's illness and really the team and the community coming together behind the team. But you guys are doing something called Colt Strong, Library Strong. What's that about?
Well, it's very exciting, and you're right. We do have a long history of working with the professional teams. We have a great relationship with the Pacers and mm-hmm. the Fever, for example. And this is really one of the first times we've worked with the Colts, but it's interesting. Andrew Luck, as you see in Sports Illustrated this week, mm-hmm. is a voracious reader.
Really?
And yes, he is.
He reads on the electronic device reads a real book?
No, he's kind of a real book guy, as a matter of fact. And we had some fun really? With that because one of his wonderful partners on the field, Dwayne Allen, mm-hmm. also a newbie this year,
right.
He's a little more hip than Andrew is. And so in the TV commercial that they filmed for us, which right. is just a wonderful contribution from these guys and from the Colts organization, for our city, we actually play off of the fact that Andrew's pretty old school.
Yeah, with the book.
And Dwayne is pretty much giving him a hard time about why he's so old school if quarterbacks are supposed to be the smart ones.
And this is something to encourage, young people age 6 to 17 to get a library card, use the library card. What do you win? Well, first of all, how do you get involved and how will young people benefit from this?
Well, first of all, the message from the guys, and we know they're role models, let's right. face it. The young people are hearing them say that getting a library card and using a library card matters. Mm-hmm. It matters in their life, and they're saying to the kids it matters. It's a good thing to do. And so that message is an important one to have reinforced by role models like these guys. And then on top of that, they have also agreed to provide an opportunity for a party for the winner of a contest.
Uh-oh.
And it was their choice, and I thought this was really a positive comment on these gentlemen, that they wanted the party to be aimed at the children, and the contest is aimed at the children. So you have to be between the ages of, let me make sure.
6 to 17,
six
right?
6 to 17, make sure I don't want to screw that up. We have had people tell us they're young at heart, but that doesn't make it. You got to be between 6 and 17. And each day that you use your library card, between now and the end of the year, your name will be entered in a drawing. And at the end of the year, we will pick from all of those repeated uses, the names of all the children, and one name will be selected, and they will actually be able to have a party hosted at the public library branch of their choice. And Andrew and Dwayne are going to be there, and they're going to get to invite 20 of their closest friends, along with the parents of those friends, and have a great visit. It's a real celebration.
Now, see, I got to explain to people, because everybody knows who Andrew Luck is. He came from Stanford. You know, he was a great quarterback, da-da-da-da-da. And everybody's going, who in the world is Dwayne Allen? Well, I did a little quick search on here on my computer, and Dwayne Allen played for Clemson University. They're the ones with those loud orange uniforms with the paw print. He was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, proud graduate of Terry Sanford High School in Fayetteville, named after the legendary North Carolina governor and senator. He's a tight end, so this is one of the ones I guess that Andrew Luck throws the ball to.
That's right.
And he's supposed to, like, they're all new.
They're all new, and they're already feeling like a team. It was so much fun to see the two of them work together to record the TV spot, mm-hmm. and then they did a radio spot together. Mm-hmm. They did some still photography for us, so that when you visit any of the branch libraries now, you'll see life-size cutouts of these guys.
Uh-oh.
And true to the theme, Andrew's holding a pile of books, and Dwayne, because he's pretty with it, he's there with his iPad, and he's the one who's talking about downloading ebooks. And the kids can get their pictures taken with these, and it's really precious.
You know, we don't realize that football players, when you hear the playbook, that is a book. It's a big binder with stuff in it that shows you how you're supposed to run and defense and what have you.
Serious homework.
Mm-hmm.
Serious homework for these guys. And I think that is the part of their job that is sometimes underestimated, the extent to which they're studying to succeed in their field.
Reading and studying film and what is it called? Break it down to analyze. What is it you're supposed to do? That this is it's a learning thing.
Absolutely. And one of the wonderful reasons this team is having the success it's having this year is because guys like these guys do take their homework pretty seriously. And they recognize that they've got a high learning curve right now. They are new, but they are seriously engaged in that work. And they're giving a message to our kids that kind of work absolutely leads to success.
You may have a question about your library. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. So now you're working with the Colts. You got your picture there with Andrew.
And I understand Andrew has a library card.
And I understand he is a very serious, studious young man.
Yes. 4-point Stanford. I mean,
in architecture.
See, in architecture. I mean, this is
you can get him to maybe design a branch
in his spare time.
In his spare time,
right?
So now you're doing this. What else y'all got going down?
Well, this next weekend, boy, talk about how time flies. We have two very exciting things at Central Library coming up. This weekend, right now, even as we speak, we are heavy into science. Have been for quite a while now, with the help of Lily Corporate and Lilly Foundation, and along with them and the folks we're having a surgeon, actually. This is Guy Hansen. He is a Lilly scientist in residence, and Dr. Wesley Lackey, who is an orthopedic surgeon from St. Francis Health. They are going to be at Central Library this weekend talking about muscles and bones. And this is part of a series that we're doing on the amazing human body. Mm. And the scientists are coming to speak. They're actually going to be showing videos of real surgery. This is all a little bit more than we're used to seeing. They tell me that there is a real, authentic human kidney in an exhibit case at Central Library now, all part of the muscles and bones and the machine of the human body. This series is going on. So this is starting this weekend at Central. And next weekend already, it's kind of hard to believe that we're there, but we are celebrating the 5th anniversary of the reopening of the new reinvented
Central
Library.
5 years?
Yeah, I don't know where that time went, Amos, but here it is. It's time for birthday cake already.
5 years for
Central Library.
The big Central Library.
Right. So on next weekend, the 8th, Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 12 noon to 5, all kinds of activities, including some peeks behind the scenes and a chance to take a look at that secret spiral staircase that goes all the way from the basement to the top of the building. And mystery tours, the Lord of the Yum Yum's going to be there. Kurt, going to have a program about Kurt Vonnegut.
Right.
That's going to be nice because that's certainly an Indianapolis hero.
With the library turning around and with at least the resources where you're not cutting back, at what point down the road does the library look at going back to the master plan that kind of got shelled in the whole mess about building the central library to look at redoing the very smallest branches that like Flanner House, I think there are a couple of others, Brightwood comes to mind, that, you know, are smaller than small?
That's an important question, Amos, because when you see how busy, for example, the Brightwood branch is, mm-hmm. anytime you drop in there, every single computer's got somebody at it. There's someone in there with their children getting books. The meeting room gets booked, used all the time. So we are very interested in returning to that discussion. I've spent a lot of time this year trying to do long-range financial projections to make sure we don't lose what we've opened back up again and things. Mm-hmm. But this next year, we will roll out some public meetings in some of those neighborhoods, starting to have some conversations with stakeholders. For example, in the Brightwood area, we're having conversations with Martin University,
right.
and what the future of the university looks like and what does that mean for the public library there. So this next year, we will begin to restart some of those conversations.
Is it also, as people, developers look at projects or potential projects in neighborhoods, not downtown, because downtown's already got a library, and in these arguments that we're having about TIFs in neighborhoods, that, you know, somebody needs to come up with, hey, I have a great idea to do a development, and if you let me do this development, I'll open up, you know, 15, 20,000 square feet to provide a library and make it, you know, very economical for them to operate in. Do we need to really be looking in those kind of discussions?
I think that libraries in the future are going to look different than they have in the past, and they may very often be part of something else. Mm-hmm. We saw this down at Fountain Square, where the library is part of that senior citizen building that was done at right there at Fountain Square.
Right.
And I think there is room for
similar to the Children's Museum Info Zone, similar to what really was started at Flanner House.
Yes. And one of the things that really intrigue us is to try to understand what does the community there on the near west side vision for itself for the future,
mm-hmm.
and how might the library be part of some further development. At the point of time, for example, that the Center for Leadership Development was done, we were not in a good place to be part of anything. But as we look forward, we would welcome those kinds of conversations. The trick, of course, for us is operating costs. We can't have a library in every single neighborhood.
Right.
But by co-locating with other organizations, we believe we can stretch our resources further.
Are for the library website, is there going to be, you know, since printed material is going more digital, you know, are there things the library's website is going to be doing?
Well, we already consider the website to be our virtual library that's mm-hmm. open 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when people ask me how many libraries we have, I always add one for the mm-hmm. virtual library, because you truthfully can do an awful lot on that website anytime, day or night. And I think that's only going to grow. Our reference collection is getting more and more digital titles, so that if you have a reference question, you can go on to the website and look up information in those reference books or those databases. That's an example of where our reach into the community is going to be deeper because we can go digitally.
We're looking at having my friends for 239-1310, 239-13, you know, it would help if I looked at my own computer screen, back to the phones. And Raymond, hi there.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a question. I use the library frequently, and I was just wondering, because the churches in our community are prevalent and they are powerful, do you have a relationship where one representative from each church can, like, check out a large number of books for a certain period of time that they can have, like, Sunday morning reads for children and then return the books at once, so that while service or something is going on, maybe in their nursery or somewhere in the child area, they could all be reading and then become familiar with the library, because a lot of churches don't have their own actual library.
Mm. Raymond, that's an excellent suggestion. And we have a couple of things that would work that way, but they've not been targeted at churches. And I think we really should discuss this some more offline. We have, for example, bags of books. It's called the Itty Bitty Book Bag, and you can get a whole bag of books, and they're aimed at young children. So, for example, that way you don't even have to spend a whole lot of time. We pre-select them, and we know they're going to work well for that age group. That would be a very simple way to start something like you described. And I think it's got a lot of potential. We used to have teacher collections, and I think this has got some real possibilities.
Okay, and one more thing. With your technology items, such as your CDs and DVDs, have you ever thought about shortening the rental time or borrowing time on those? Because I've got some things, and that's not a bad thing, but some of the more popular items, I'm like number 30 in hold. And I was just wondering, I know you have a couple of weeks to have, but for things that are newer, is it possible to, like, reduce the time? Because you can't do novels and books. It takes time to read. But for other things maybe that are visual or media, could you look at shortening maybe the borrowing time so that other library patrons may be able to get them sooner?
I have a lot of trouble trying to figure out what is the perfect amount of time, because I think your point's well taken. And with some of the really popular things, we do have a shorter time period. But then people get mad at me because they get confused over which ones are shorter time periods and which ones are longer periods, and they rack up a lot of fines. So we struggle with this one a lot.
Are you all in competition with the blue boxes and the red boxes? And because somebody can go for a dollar and a quarter, was it $1.50, whatever it is this week, you know, and rent the DVD for 24 hours, 48 hours, 36 hours, whereas the library is a little bit longer, but you got the longer waiting list.
I think that's actually the trade-off, is that for people who don't mind about the length of time to get something, they're getting it for no cost whatsoever. And for folks who are in a little bit more of a hurry, they're going to plunk down the $1.50 and they're going to get it. But it's really frustrating for us. We don't want to buy 100 copies or 200 copies of something. But at the same time, if a lot of people in the community are asking for it, we do buy multiple copies for exactly the reason that Raymond's mentioned, that the list gets too long.
All right. Great question, Raymond. 239-1310. 239-1310. Speaking of that, if people come to the library now and they get on their 30 minutes of time on the computer and they go to IndyStar.com, are they able to get on and read the Star without having to have their own subscription? Did y'all work that out?
We pay for a certain number of subscriptions through some of the database collections that we have, so there is a little bit better access.
Is that a growing problem with newspapers? Because a lot of the major newspapers, Wall Street Journal, Indianapolis Star, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, now have a lot of their material around a paywall. So even if the library customer is in the library reading those papers, all of a sudden they're going to get a block.
For many libraries around the country, they've seen their subscriptions to the packages that they have skyrocket in price because that's how the newspapers are getting around this. They're saying, okay, I'll put my newspaper in your package, but now the subscription to your package just tripled in cost. The bigger obstacle to us right now, Amos, is that the ebook publishers are really drawing a line in the sand about selling to libraries. And that's a whole nother show in itself that would be an interesting one to do someday. But it is a real concern for us right now that many of the publishers are either stopping selling to libraries at all of their ebook publications.
So you treat ebooks the way you treat the CDs and DVDs?
We subscribe to them and get them in our collection. You could look in our catalog and look up a given title. And if it is a publisher who will sell to us, it'll be there in print. It might be there in books on CD, and it might be there in ebook format. But in some cases, it might only be there in hardback, paperback, book on CD, but not ebook, because the publisher won't sell it to us.
And if you have an ebook, how does the library customer consume it? Do they consume it with an e-reader in a reading room within a library? Do they get to take it? See, I don't even know
they can.
How
well, Amos, we got to get you into a class. We have a class on this. It's called the Tinker Station, and we let you fool around with these things.
Okay.
We actually, you take your little device, whether it's your smartphone or your iPad or whatever it is you've chosen to use, and you log on to the library's website with your library card, and you get in, and there is a way to download that title from the library through the website to your device, and then you can start reading. And for 21 days, you can be reading that book.
And on the 22nd day, it evaporates.
It evaporates, yeah.
It's like an old Mission Impossible thing.
It really is. It's pretty fascinating.
We're talking about the TV show, not the movie. Let me go to Becky at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I just had a question. I've often said that I'm concerned about the fact that I know you all, the library downtown is beautiful and you all have done wonderful work with a lot of the locals around in the area, but is there any part of the plan that includes expanding and adding more libraries out in the townships? Because, you know, like there's like one library for all of Warren, or one library for, it seems like, for all of Pike or something like that. Is there anything to add more of them in those areas?
Yeah, great question.
Well, we're looking at several of the areas where population really has changed, and we're either looking at enlarging an existing library if we can, if we're not landlocked, or in some instances, trying to see whether there is a different location in that township that would allow the library to serve people better. Right. The libraries in all of the townships are much, much larger than the old branch libraries were, and that was done because people tended to travel to get to someplace. But some of them are extremely busy. Pike and Warren, the ones that the caller mentioned, are very busy. And we do appreciate this, that there's a lot of demand out there.
Is it also something that, given out in Pike, Park 100 is like there's several parts of Park 100 that just are just whole buildings are vacant? And maybe, you know, Duke and them would do, let's make a deal. It's better to have something in a building than something that's empty.
Just a question. With the property tax caps, we don't have the flexibility to add a lot of staff. And so anything that we add has to be looked at in terms of what else can we skinny up on, where else can we get more efficient to free up some staff to operate additional libraries. And we'll continue to develop the use of volunteers in the hopes that that allows us to expand services as well.
All right. If you want more information about your library, you just simply go to the website, and it is www.ndpl. It's new. www.indypl.org. www.ndpl.org. That'll give you all the information, including get your kids. You and 20 of your closest friends could have a party hosted by Andrew Luck. He ought to be the most valuable player in the NFL. And Dwayne Allen, the pride of North Carolina. Coming on then. Let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Ames. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I have a quick question for you, guess. Since you had mentioned the fact that about the libraries that are so far away, and basically in Washington Township, there we have to go way over to Nora to use the library. And I was wondering, there's a school right off of Hardcore there, and that building's been there for quite a while. It's an old school, and I was wondering, could that be a potential library?
Harcourt, what is it? Harcourt and what?
71st off of. 71st.
Right? You're just north of 71st off of Harcourt.
Correct.
Okay. Oh.
There was a school there that used to be there. I don't know the name of it, but it was an elementary school there that was there.
Yeah, I think I know which one.
I think I know what one you're speaking of, and that actually, that's come up before when they were talking about the Glendale Mall and whether that was a location that we didn't want to be in anymore, wasn't working well for us, and somebody else mentioned this school. Washington Township, I think, has three libraries, College Avenue, Glendale, and Nora, and they're all very, very busy. So at this point in the game, it's not likely that we can afford to operate another one in Washington Township, to be honest, unless we make some change in some other facility.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. Let me go to Calvin right quick. Hi there.
Yeah. Hello, Brother Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
first time caller. I listen to you every day, man.
Well, hold on.
Let me give it
a salute. There you go. What's up?
Listen, I got a question for your guest.
Yes.
I want to ask on the computer time. When you're in the library, I think it's only about 45 minutes. Is it possible in the near future that they can extend that at least about an hour or longer? And I'm going to hang up and let her answer.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, okay. Calvin. Thank you.
Great question, Calvin, because we know how much it matters to people in today's day and age to be able to stay on the computer long enough to get that job application completely filled out and to get your emails sent out and things. I think the way this works, if you don't have a library card, you get a shorter period of time, kind of a guest pass thing. If you've got a library card, you get a longer period of time. If you're at the library at a time of day when it's not quite as busy,
like when it opens up.
First thing in the morning, right, and it's a little different in each different library, but if it's not quite that busy, you can, you know, talk to the librarian and you can stay on longer. We're not going to kick you off and have a computer sit there empty. We actually, this year, moved around some of the computers from the libraries where they were not getting used as much and moved them to some of the libraries where there was a lot more demand. So we're monitoring this and trying to make sure that we've got more computers available for people because we do know that this is very important.
All right. It is your Indianapolis Marion County Public Library. Now just the Indianapolis Public Library. The website is www.ndpl.org, www.ndpl.org. Jackie Needus, the CEO, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks, Amos. It's
this
great to be
just
here.
In. Federal Judge Jane Magna Stinson threw the book at Tim Durham. She read him the Riot Act and gave him, ready for this, 50 years. Ooh, that's a lot. Because he's over 50. An effective life sentence, but his penalty for the ripping off people, 50 years. When we come back, we'll tell you, just reading some of the tweets of what Judge Stinson said, ooh, it was not pretty. She didn't use cuss words, but that's what she did. She blessed him out. She read him the Riot Act, and he's going to jail in federal prison for a half of a century. Well, if you rip off that many people, you ought to go to jail. Anyway, it's Afternoons with Amos. Open lines the rest of the way out after these.